All right, good morning. If you have a Bible, go ahead and grab your Bible, and why don't you turn to the book of Colossians in the New Testament. We're going to be there this morning. We had an introduction to this book last week, and this morning we're very much going to dive into Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, just a couple of verses, but we're going to get a lot out of it, and I'm excited. So, before we jump in, and as you're kind of making your way to Colossians, I just wanted to again announce the big fall kickoff. Yes. So that's happening right after this service. This morning, I had an extra flyer. I don't know how that happened. I thought I used them all to invite people just like you, but I had an extra flyer. And so I was taking some time and just studying it. I was just thinking, what am I going to do at big fall kickoff? And I started to sort of check things off and underline things. And then I was like, you know, I need to plan my big fall kickoff. So I made an order for it. So I'm going hot dog first, then chili, because that's a way to do a chili dog, you know, and then pelican snowballs. I'm doing all food before the petting zoo for sanitary purposes. Then I'm doing all tiring activities, anything that requires aerobic movement. Then I'm going to be in the dunk tank for the refreshment and for you all to be able to try to dunk me. And then I'm going to collect all the prizes that I win. So that's my plan for big fall kickoff. I encourage you to be intentional with your experience as well. But you should also be intentional about others too, and just really seek to have a great time and greet one another and just excited to enjoy this time together. So again, we're in Colossians, and we introduced it last Sunday. And if you want, you know, we have these mini three-ring binders at the Connect counter. There's a few left. I know First Service got a few. But also, if we run out, we can order one for you, or you can order one with the info provided there. But in here, you'll have all the key information introducing you to Colossians. And so I'll just show you even a map that I want to show you this morning, and just a slide with that, and just tell you some about Colossians. And go ahead and go to the map slide, and just tell you some about Colossians and kind of what this is about, right? So, you know, Colossians was written, we talked about this last week, but in 60 AD, Paul wrote it. He wrote it from prison in Rome. He wrote it to this church in this place called Colossae. And these Colossians, their town, small town, was located, you know, in, I guess you could say, central to western modern day Turkey. And I was looking into it. I was like, kind of, what's going on in this region in these days? You know, like, where is this? And it's at 8,000 square feet. It's a mountainous region. It's a part of Turkey that's known for their cherries. And so, you know, that's just kind of interesting. It's also known for oil wrestling. And so some of the most famous oil wrestlers in the world are from this region of Turkey. And so I just wanted to share that with you. I don't think Andreas got that last week, but I wanted to kind of get that in for this week. And so, but Colossae is a town where real people lived, and Paul didn't himself plant this church, but sent Epaphras to plant this church. And you can get more information on, you know, the introduction to Colossians and this letter in the New Testament, again, from last week, or if you get this binder, we'll give that information to you. But the theme of this sermon series that I'm very excited about is that Christ is all. That Christ is all. And you'll see that again and again as we go through Colossians, just the magnificence of Christ and how he is everything we need. One scholar put it this way: the key theme throughout Colossians is the centrality and supremacy of Jesus. Christ is all. Christ is all. I was reading this pastor who wrote a book on Colossians, and this particular pastor is still alive, 99 years old, lives in London, and was one of Tim Keller's heroes. And for some of us, that's meaningful. And this pastor, Dick Lucas, shared that when he studied and taught the book of Colossians in his church, it caused him as a pastor and as a Christian to rededicate himself to the foundations of his evangelical faith. And I just want to encourage you to really lean into this study that we're doing together as a church. Could it be that years from now, you might say, you know, I've heard a lot of good sermons. I've studied some books of the Bible. I've been in some Bible studies. But that time when we studied the book of Colossians in Raleigh, what was the name of that church? I don't remember. Who was that pastor? Who cares? I don't remember. But the book of Colossians changed my life. Could it be that that would be some of our story? I've had friends tell me, Colossians will change your life. I've had friends tell me, read Colossians 50 times. I challenge you and see what it does. And so I just want to encourage you to really lean into this series with the theme being Christ is all. And this morning, our title from verses 1 through 2 of chapter 1 is In Christ in Raleigh. In Christ in Raleigh. So let me now read to you verses 1 through 2, and then briefly I'd like to pray, and then we're going to go through this passage carefully this morning. So here we go. Verse 1 starts this way. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. God our Father, we pray, we bow before you this morning. God, we pray that you would speak to our hearts from your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who is real. You're a God who moves and acts in our lives and in history. You're a God who has acted powerfully and graciously to save people, to make people right with you through Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who speaks, a God who reveals your will and your character by your word. Lord, would you lead our church? Would you lead us? Would you build us up as the seed is sown from the book of Colossians? Would you cause it to land on good soil? And would you, Lord, would you cause it to bear good fruit, great fruit in our lives? In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So this morning, as we look at this first message in Colossians, chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, titled In Christ in Raleigh, there really are two points, all right? So two kind of main points. The first one is that we need to be directed by the will of God. Directed by the will of God. And that is coming from verse 1. And you know that directions have never been easier to get. You know, I mean, everyone knows how to get directions. You just ask Siri, you ask Alexa, you put it in to your computer, your handheld computer, and you can get directions. We're all familiar with directions, being told where to go, when to turn, when to go straight, what to keep on doing. Directions. But we're to be directed by the will of God. And that just jumps out to us as we read verse 1, where Paul says, you know, he shares, Paul, he's introducing himself as he's writing this to the Colossians. He says, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. We're to be directed by the will of God. You see, the will of God. You say, how? How are we to be directed by the will of God? Well, I want to share with you, and I think very faithfully from this verse, two ways. Two ways I am directed by the will of God. And the first one is the word of God. The word of God. We are directed by the will of God in the Bible or in the word of God or in Jesus' word through the apostles, i.e. Colossians. Like, that is why Paul introduces himself as an apostle. It is to say, I am an authorized representative of Jesus Christ. I am an appointed and official witness of Christ. I am speaking for Christ. I am a sent one. I am an apostle. And this is the word of Christ for you. That is what Paul was saying. He wasn't just sharing like, hey, it's Apostle Paul. Like, apostle was not like a vanity plate on Paul's car. You know, I looked into that. I could have ordered one and had it here by Sunday to hold it up if I wanted. Of course, it's black with gold letters. The Apostle Vanity Plate. Get it on Amazon. But no, like Paul is not sharing that for that reason. He is sharing it because he is communicating to the Colossians and to us, this is the word of God. This is apostolic truth. Paul, an apostle. I was thinking, you know, this week, I was like, you know, I we're starting a new book. Let me do a little homework, some research for verses 1-2 for Fellowship Raleigh, right? So I'm looking into it. I'm like, I want to see, you know, Paul wrote 13 letters. So I want to see how often does he say in the intro to his letter that he's an apostle, and how often does he reference the will of God? And I was thinking, let me look into that. I'm going to bring some real juicy, you know, research insights to Fellowship Raleigh, because I'm sure it's very rare. And I looked into it. And in 9 of Paul's 13 letters, he says, I'm an apostle. And in 8 of his 13 letters, he says, by the will of God. Instead of it being something that was rare, it's one of the most common things that Paul really does say. And it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder that the Bible has the final authority, the apostles' teaching, the apostolic truth, the final authority in the life of a Christian and in the church. And it is to be taken as such. The word of God is not junk mail. The word of God is not an email that we have permission as Christians to unsubscribe from. This is the word of God. That's what we're to take from Paul saying, hello, Paul, an apostle by the will of God. And even the phrase, the will of God, I looked it up. That word means will, purpose, wish, desire. It's a good reminder that God, the will of God, that God has a will. Think about that. Just kind of pause for a moment. Sometimes I think we get so theoretical about God. You know, God's a higher power. He's the man upstairs. He's a higher being. And we get so impersonal. But the God of Scripture is personal. And he has a will. And is your life going to be about your will or his will? Who wins the battle of the wills between your will and God's will? Remember Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane says, not my will, but your will, Father, be done. And so we're to be directed by the will of God. We're to be like Christ. The first way we do that is the word of God, by heeding the teaching and the writing of the Bible, the apostles. And we have that here with Colossians. The second kind of way that we're to be directed by the will of God is divine appointment. Divine appointment. And I add that here because I think we want to not race past and miss the profoundness of Paul saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Because Paul had very different plans for his life. If Paul would have accomplished his goal of his plans and his will and been the self-made man that he would have wanted to be, and perhaps some of us might pursue at times, Paul's life would have turned out entirely opposite than it did. It took a divine appointment where Paul was on his way to Damascus. He's not a Christian. He's a Pharisee. He's zealous. He hates Christians. He's going to this city called Damascus to arrest Christians. And Jesus places him under arrest. Knocks him down. Blinds him with unapproachable light. Then he gets taken to the city of Damascus. And a man named Ananias lays hands on him and prays for him. And he recovers his sight. And he's told by Jesus, you will be my apostle. You'll be my witness to the Gentiles. And I share this only to say that sometimes we're directed by the will of God in a very straightforward way by studying the word of God. But there are other times where we're directed by the will of God by yielding to the will of God as it is revealed to us through divine appointments, which is what happened to Paul. When Jesus or the Holy Spirit, as he did with Paul, puts us where he wants us to be in life, there is, to a great extent and in a very real way, an aspect of God's sovereignty in that, where God has placed us, where he has appointed us to be. And you say, well, that's fatalistic. Can't we change where we are? Yeah, you can. But you are where you are. And so where you are, at least for this moment, is where we are to be faithful, where we are to figure out what that means and how that is directing us by the will of God. The song "In Christ Alone" says, from life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. Be directed by the will of God. Word of God, divine appointments. And now second this morning, our second big point. Be defined by who I am in Christ. What defines you? Who are you? What's your identity? What do you want people to know about you? What do you believe in your heart of hearts is most important about you? How do you introduce yourself to people? What defines you? Be defined by who I am in Christ. Our identity in Christ is the subject of verse 2. Paul is going to the Colossians and really to us, speak our identity in Christ over us. Let me read it to you, verse 2. He says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Be defined by who I am in Christ. Let me, from verse 2, share with you what I think are four ways that we're defined by who we are in Christ. And the first one is where I am. Where I am. Look at the beginning here, or just look at verse 2. It says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. At this place, this city. Now, just imagine for a moment that you're one of the original people, like you are a Colossian, and you're there. And this letter, Colossians, comes from the Apostle Paul to you. And you're trying to like really, you know, mine all the truth out of each verse of the Bible, right? And so you're studying verse 2. I don't know if there were verses quite yet at that time, but you're studying this letter and you're like in Colossae. You're at Colossae and you read to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. And you're like, wow, that's powerful truth. I was wondering where I was, but now I know. I'm in a city called Colossae. I'm kind of being humorous. I'm joking around, but I'm just saying, like, what? How is that divine truth for a person who already knows they're in Colossae? What do you do with that? They knew they were in Colossae. But think about this. When they read it, this tells them that Jesus knows they're in Colossae and that he has a message for them that's particularly relevant to their life as a citizen of this community, Colossae, in Christ, in Raleigh. That's my point. This is so relevant to us as Christians. You know, we're like in this season of elections, and we have to remember that we are citizens of heaven, but we are also citizens of this world. We're not Christians on the clouds. We're Christians with our feet very much planted in this earth. And we are to own that. We're to understand that. We're to be faithful Christians in Colossae or in Raleigh, in Christ. In Raleigh, God is sovereign over our birth, our location, the borders of our life, where we are, our circumstances. And it's as if Jesus is saying to the Colossians, remember that. And I know you're there. And here's some truth particularly relevant to your life so that you can be faithful where you are. God cares about those things. And so as we think about be defined by who I am in Christ, the first thing to think about is where I am. Where I am. In Raleigh. Secondly, four ways I am defined. Where I am. And secondly, who I'm not. Who I am not. It says here in verse 2, we're just going to dig a lot out of verse 2. It says, to the saints in Christ at Colossae. He says, saints. He says, to the saints. And saints, of course, the definition of saints is a holy one. It means a holy person. And so, but the word holy, really, to understand that word, it means to be set apart, to be called out of, or it could mean to be pure, but that's usually the purity is a result of being pulled out of. And so it's less to do with the purity, though that would be the result, and more to do with you being set apart, you being called out of. And so that's why the point is who you're not. Are you following? Who I'm not. So when Paul calls them saints, he's like, you're called out of the world. In Exodus 19, when the Israelites were called saints, it meant they're not Egyptians. You're God's special and treasured people in this world. You're not part of the world. Oh, you're at Colossae, but you're not part of the world. You're saints. You're part of the people of God in this world. It's really fascinating. Saints is more than a football team. Saints is more than really unhappy looking paintings of church leaders like Francis or Teresa or whoever. Like, saints is a very commonly used word in the Bible and kind of uncommonly used in our fellowship as Christians. When's the last time that you told a brother or sister in Christ, you know what? You are a saint in Christ. You are called out. You are set apart. You are pure in Christ. It's a good thing. And so where I am and who I am not. And now let's consider who I am. Who I am. And we're going to really dig in here. So again, reading verse 2, just sort of looking so deeply at it. It says, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. Who I am. I am in Christ. Who I am faithful in Christ. In fact, I did do some homework on this, and this is the only place in Paul's letters where he, in the introduction, calls his readers faithful. And that is relevant and important. Why is it? I think because Paul is, he's pointing to what will be a developing theme in Colossians, which is that of faithfulness. You know, he says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, and I'll show you, he says, therefore, as you received Christ the Lord. Did you receive Christ? Did you once make a decision to be a Christian? Were you once really serious about your faith? Were you really reading your Bible? Were you really loving the Lord? Were you really faithful? Were you once in that place? This is what Paul says. Walk in him. Continue in that way. Don't depart from that. Don't move away from that and do something else. What are you doing? No, continue in him. That's a theme in Colossians. And so Paul sets up this theme in verse 2 by going ahead and saying, you know what? There are a lot of people who aren't faithful, but in Christ, you're faithful. You are faithful. You are the ones who are going to continue in him. Paul's very positive here because of their location, which is what? In Christ. You know, in real estate, you maybe have heard the phrase before, but it's all about location, location, location. It's everything. It's so important. And you know what is way more important than physical location? Spiritual location. Are you in Christ? The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are where? In Christ. What is your shelter from the just and the very, very fair wrath of a holy God toward rebellious and sinful people? What shelter are you running into, friends? The only shelter is in Christ. It means to be robed with the righteousness of Christ, to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. It means to be hidden in Christ. It's to be in Christ. And we're talking about who I am. And Paul is speaking to these Colossians and to us this morning and saying, you are in Christ. You are saints in Christ. You are faithful in Christ. You are brothers or brothers and sisters in Christ. And make a note of that. The family that we have in Christ. Do you see that? I challenge you, just in these two verses, take a pen and underline all the familial terms. Oh, this letter's from Paul, the apostle, and who? Timothy, who? Our brother in Christ. And it's written to you guys, you faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And, oh, by the way, grace and peace to you from who? Our Father, God. It's so familial. And you think about the people, just in verses 1-2 that are mentioned, you have Paul, who's an ex-Pharisee. He's coming from one entirely different world than the Colossians. You have Timothy, whose mom was Jewish and whose dad, we only know he wasn't Jewish. He was a Gentile. Maybe he had died. You have Timothy, who's sort of co-authoring Colossians with Paul. And then you have the Colossians. You know, oil wrestlers and cherry farmers in central western Turkey. And you think about these people all coming together. What brings them together? Being in Christ. Faith in Christ, a common faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the cross, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Are you in Christ? Be defined by who I am, where? In Christ. Everything to do with where you are. Where has God put you? Raleigh? Okay. Who I'm not. You're not of this world. You're set apart. You're a saint. Who I am. You're in Christ. You're faithful. You're brothers. You're in Christ. And now, finally, these four keys to being defined by our identity in Christ, whose I am. Whose I am. In the last part of this introduction, Paul says to them, and this is so much more than a slogan or a sign-off. You know, we put it in our emails, grace and peace. Paul's like, grace to you and peace from God the Father. He's like, listen, I'm an apostle, and you are saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, and I am speaking for Jesus. I'm a messenger from Jesus Christ to you this morning. And he's saying, on good authority, I'm telling you that our Father, Paul's putting himself on the same sort of level ground with them, our Father, God, he's our Father, and he's a good Father, and he has a heart for you, and he wants to give you two things. And on good authority, Paul is saying those two things are grace and peace. If you've ever been a parent or been a father, you know if you want to give something to your kids, you'll try very hard. You'll be excited about it. Your heart is to bless them. Paul's like, listen, in Christ, we belong to our Heavenly Father who has a heart to bless us, and he is blessing you with grace, unmerited favor. The gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus' death on the cross in your place. You don't deserve it. That's the point of it. It's grace. It's divine favor. You can't earn it. You're not good enough for it, but you can trust in it and by it receive new life.
grace. And grace is more than this thing that we believe in, but it's something that God very much wants us to experience, which is why he's sending it to Christians who he knows already believe in it. Hello? He's like, you need more. I'm sending it to you. I want you to be hooked up on the IVs of grace. You need more. When Paul asked three times for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, God responded with, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. And so hear this morning. Paul, as an apostle on good authority, is telling you that your Father wants you to experience grace and peace. Shalom, the peace that can only invade your heart through the gospel of Jesus Christ, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. And so, Fellowship Raleigh, grace and peace to you in Christ, in Colossae, and in Raleigh. Let's pray.